I'm Jaloran from Through the Palantir, and you're listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor.
You are listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor, a hardcore look at Lotro from a casual point of view. This podcast is brought to you by Typefrag.com for all your Ventrilo hosting needs. Receive 25% off your first month when you use the promo code 2Mordor at checkout. Hello and welcome to episode 41. I'm your host, Merrick.
I'm Quinster.
And what did you do this week?
I logged in to make paint.
You logged in to make paint. That's it?
I didn't really play that much. I played my hunter a little bit. I think she's 38 now. So, That's about it.
Where'd you end up going to level?
Evendim.
The whole time?
Yeah. Well, I did probably a lot more in North Downs than you did, because I know that you just like shrug off the entire east side of the North Downs.
I did this time, yeah.
You generally complain about it more than any other area, so I do a lot over there because it's just like finding treasure troves and killing those hunter dudes. I killed the goblins and started that, and I stopped when it started to be like, go kill the named goblin boss, whatever. I knew I couldn't do that, so.
Yeah, those are elites, I think.
Yeah, and there's like a million things in the way. I did saw one of them while I was killing the orcs for the orc medallions or whatever it is I was collecting. But the thing is that there's also those sharp eye, I think that's what they're called, orcs.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are signature too, and they're always in packs, so you have to kill like the regular and the signature, and I just wasn't able to do it. So.
Oh man. Yeah.
I made my hunter some new jewelry. I logged in my jeweler and made her some new jewelry. And she probably needs some new armor because she's still wearing the stuff from level 22 that you made her. But the thing is it's still the best stuff I can get because it's all crit gear.
Or what about the like skirmish stuff?
It's still better than the skirmish stuff so far. It might not be now. I looked when I was like 35, I think, maybe. You know, when skirmishes opened up to me, and I was like, hey, maybe I'll get some skirmish gear. 38, maybe there's some better stuff, but there wasn't at the time. I was like, yeah, this is kind of poop compared to my 22.
It's poopy.
So, that's pretty much it. Other than that, we attended Weatherstock last night.
Yeah, we even did a live broadcast.
Yes, we did our first, like, live streaming test run. We figured that was a good place to start.
Speaking of, should we do a live podcast? What do you think?
Right now, Saturday morning? Do you think anybody cares?
Sunday morning. Yeah, probably not.
That is Sunday morning. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's up to you. Do you want to do it?
I wonder what the public thinks.
Let's ask them. Oh, wait. We're not live.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, sure. Well, we'll get responses to that. Yeah, so I am slogging through the Minstrel, level 30 to 40. And I think, actually, I'm glad you brought up going to the North Downs, because I think it was a mistake to skip it.
Oh, really? You skipped it completely? You didn't do anything in there?
Well, I started off skipping it. I went to Obarton, and by the time I went to Obarton, I think it was 31, 32, because I did skirmishes, I think, up to 31, and just to give myself an edge. And then I went to Obarton, and everything, there was like a white quest, and the rest were blue. So I ended up, what did I do? Oh, I ended up going up to Evendim, but then I ran into problems because the quest started getting a little bit too difficult for me.
What's wrong with white and blue quests? White quests are your level. That's an even level quest.
Well, I wanted to go to a place where they were all white.
Honey, you're a healer. You want to do the lower level quests.
So I went to Evendim, and yeah, everything got... It started off easy, and then it just got a little bit too difficult.
I had that problem as well, actually, when I left North Downs and went to Evedon. When I went to Oat Barn, everything was gray. There was nothing for me to do there because I was already 35, maybe. I don't remember. So I went up to Tinadur, whatever the name of that place is.
Sure.
And I started off doing a couple, like, you know, bluish white quests and being okay. And then all of a sudden, I had orange quests and only orange quests. And I was kind of like, what happened to the quests that were my level?
Yeah.
But I think I just did something out of order. Because after I did a couple more quests, I've got quite a few of my level. Well, of course, I've leveled twice or three times too. So maybe that's why they're my level now. But I ran into the same problem where it was just too high at one point.
Yeah, so I went back to the North Downs and did several quests out there, and now I'm going to head back to Evendim and get 30 or 40.
Get what level to 40, are you now?
38.
Oh, me too.
You're ahead of me, then.
How do you know?
Because you leveled in that skirmish that we did with Az.
Oh, I was.
Where I got to be a healer.
Yes, you were fantastic.
I did pretty well until the last boss.
I died twice. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no, the first time was because Az wanted to be a healer. That's not my fault.
What? You still have the...
He sent me a message that said, go into war speech, I'm going to heal.
He tells me to go into war speech all the damn time. And you know what I do? Not listen to him.
Aw, poor Az.
Poor Az, nothing. I'm calling a poop on you because it's your job to know to drop out of war speech when he's having problems.
Well, I didn't know you had problems until you died.
That means you're not paying attention.
I was in war speech. I didn't have to pay attention.
Yes, you do. All I have to say is I love being a DPS class again, grouping. It's so easy. Wait, I'm just going to shoot these mob till they're all dead? Got it.
I don't have to be responsible for a hunter who dies.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just going to keep pew-pewing until there's nothing left to pew-pew. Wait, let me get my focus. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah. It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And we almost... It was so disappointing at the end. We had one boss left. And you know what's frustrating? And it's... You did a fine job. Az did a fine job. I had two tanks turned healer on me. We had a runekeeper and a minstrel. And then my hunter. And the thing that was frustrating is I play a minstrel full time. And so I'm sitting there watching you going, what are you doing? You should be healing me. Like, I have no health. And you're just sitting there... I don't know, rocking out, doing something. And I'm just like, you should heal me. You should heal me. I'll take a pot. Okay. You should heal me. You should heal me. I'm still very, very hurt.
All I can say is that don't blame the healer.
What do you mean? I totally blame the healer in this case because the healer wasn't healing.
Don't blame the healer.
The healer wasn't healing, so he wasn't a healer.
Mm-hmm. I was healing you as much as possible. Now, that first fight was my fault because I didn't fear the ad. That was when it first came out, so that was my fault. And if I had done that like I did the second time we did it, we would have been successful.
Yeah. I was out of power anyway. I had already used a power pot. I just thought, well, if he could just keep me alive for a little longer because we had killed all but one. There was one thing left.
Stupid thing.
And if he had just given me enough powered... health to stay up and pew-pew it, because Az was running back, we could have done it, but...
Nope.
I don't know what he was doing. He wasn't healing.
Yeah. So anyway, skirmishes are basically saving my life, going through from 30 to 40. I find myself doing them quite a bit, actually.
I don't really... I do a couple every now and then. My hunter just doesn't do them very regularly.
No, I do them all the time. It's awesome.
As a minstrel?
Yeah. I'm pretty successful. I've got a ton of skills, like, at orange. Like, just a ton. More than I can use for the future.
What does that mean?
What?
At orange?
At orange. Their level's orange. 39 or something. Okay,
you squeeze oranges? What does your orange skills?
I've got them up fairly high. And their level is orange to me.
Okay.
So.
What kind of soldier do you have?
I'm using a warrior. It seems to work okay. Seems to work. Pathing is horrible.
Yeah, pathing on my warrior is absolutely junk.
And sometimes they run off way, 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 way too far. Or they stand behind me.
I had a problem the first time I did Trouble in Tuckboro with my warrior soldier and my hunter. Is I, you know, I'm shooting something and a whole bunch came up. And I had a trap set, so there, but there were still like two mobs hitting me, one trapped, and I was shooting something in the distance that was a signature. And the soldier ignored everything in front of him and ran straight to the signature. And when the signature was dead, he took off running and grabbed more. And so I died.
Oh, nice.
I was like, where is he going?
Yeah, Trouble in Tuckboro seems to be the worst one. That seems to be where they get stuck the most and act the craziest. I guess because the landscape is so varied, has a bunch of hills and junk. But yeah, they go crazy in that skirmish. In fact, when you go past that first gate, more often than not, unless you stop at that first gate and pull your first pull back to it, you usually end up having to summon your skirmish soldier because they get stuck and they won't come past that stupid gate.
I was happy that I was able to kill that old fright bear.
Yeah, that's definitely the worst fight in there.
By myself, I did it with a solo skirmish. So
yeah, I was able to do
I've
it.
I've never done that before.
I was able to do it the second time. The first time, it just mauled my warrior. And then it's like, that was a good snack. Time for some elf meal. And I ran because I was trying anything. And yeah.
Well, I set a trap. I get my full focus. I send my soldier in and let him take a few hits. And then I know if I start off with some powerful stuff, I'll pull aggro. And that way my soldier can still beat on him while he's hitting the trap. And we're like pew-pewing him. It worked okay.
Yeah. I don't remember what I did. I think the second fight I was just like, I'm just going to heal. And that worked.
Bryant actually put up a minstrel guide on how to do Death from Below as a minstrel.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Because that's a horrible, horrible
I think
one.
I linked it on our Facebook.
Okay. So. I have to take a look at that because that is a horrible, that's a horrible quest even when you're a guardian.
He's very, I mean, like what traits you should have and what skills to use. And he wow. links to his character to show what armor he has.
Yeah, because with my guardian, it took me like 3 or 4 tries to figure out what I needed to do and how I needed to do it in order just to complete it. And it was it's pretty difficult. I have
what
to
do
say,
you get from that? Why do you? I haven't done it yet.
It's one of the repeatable ones. You get some of the barter tokens. I can't remember if they're just leaves or if you get like the stars as well.
Doesn't seem worth it.
No, it's almost not. But you get a lot of item experience and. You also get reputation. And the thing is that it's easy and convenient because it's in that last, the camp where you take, it's the camp with the tower in the middle where you actually get your last part of the epic book done. And so it's pretty easy and it's just it's an instance. So you can just go there, get in the instance, finish it, hopefully, and be done. So. And I think a part of it is the fact that it's such a challenge also is what's compelling about it. Even though it's frustrating, it's all get out.
Okay. Yeah. I still haven't done it.
Yeah. I think you'll hate it.
I think that's why. I think you've got me psyched out. I don't want to try it.
Well, what if I said, you can't do it?
I believe you.
No, there's easier ones to do. You can just go run around that area and do it. Do them all at once. So... yeah, that's what I preferred to do. Actually, once I hit Kindred, I just stopped doing them all.
Is it for reputation or is it?
It's for reputation and some barter items.
Okay.
I think with that discussion, we will go ahead and head into Town Crier.
And now, the Town Crier.
This week in Town Crier, let's see, there is a sale on Amazon game cards that you reported on this week.
Yeah, is the sale still going?
Let's take a look. Yeah, they are on sale for $13, it looks like, $12.99.
Wow, isn't that cheaper than what I think it was $16.99.
Yeah, so it's gone down $4.
It's gone down again. It's now down to $12.99. What is that a month?
Wow. Okay, for 6 days, that's 30 days. That's about, $6.50 a month.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Now, you have to have an active subscription, right? You have to have purchased the game.
Well, what I asked Sapience about this to make sure that I was given the right info, because it seems to make sense that if you buy a game card and use it on a free-to-play account, that it becomes a VIP account.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like that's how it works. Something else is required. I don't know what it is. And when I talked to Sapience about it, he said that it was not set in stone yet. It's, you know, to be determined kind of a deal. So right now these game cards are good for purchased versions of the game, as in you are a current subscriber, you are not a trial or going to be a free-to-play person, it will work for you.
Okay, so basically if you have a subscription right now, it'll work for you.
Right, well we had at least one commenter who wanted to use it to get his friends to play, you know.
Right. Like
they were going to be free-to-players and he was going to buy them all gift cards since it's $6 a month.
Right.
And, give them a little heads up, but he is going to wait because he's not sure if that's how it's going to work.
Yeah, so it probably works if you've already purchased the game. It's just not going to work if you start with a free-to-play, it sounds like. Which is cool. I mean, I guess I understand that. It has something to do with the billing structure and everything like that, and sometimes it just can't be helped.
Yeah.
Because they've had to make a lot of changes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that the main thing is they just don't know right now.
Right, right. I mean, these guys did not, you know, Sapience and everybody, they don't work on the actual billing system. They're just the representatives to the community. So it's understandable. But it's good to ask these questions because it's good that we know. All right. There's also an announcement.
There's going to be maintenance on Monday, June 14th, 2010, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Just regular account, regular maintenance for the servers. Nothing. We're not getting a patch or anything. Forums, wikis, and my account at turbine.turbine.com will remain active. It's just the game. So if
I always get suspicious when they say stuff like this, because when there's downtime, that people flock to the forums and everything. So this sometimes results in downtime for those as well.
Oh, for the forums? Because yeah. Everybody's bored.
Yeah, so they go to the forums. Which is fine. They're good. Let's see, there's a Tell the Community team this week, and it's on the Captain Class feedback. So, you technically do have a captain.
I do. She's 30.
And you don't like playing her.
I think the Captain Class is wonderful. I think that I am horrible at it. Is what the problem is.
Yeah, you know, there were definite times, especially when I was leveling to 20, where I would kill something, and I'm like, oh yeah, I have skills that I could use right now. I should use those.
I should probably do that.
You know what really is good practice? If you get like a melee or some class that doesn't heal for skirmishes and you have to rely on yourself to use like the on defeat heal.
Yeah.
Rally.
Mm-hmm.
You get really good at it because you know that you're the only way that you're gonna get heals.
Right.
So that's that would be my suggestion if you wanted to play further. And also, I kind of agree with Bill from the Lotro Reporter. They are really good in skirmishes.
Are they?
So I would recommend trying. She just
hit 30. I haven't even tried yet. I have to get the war orders and all that stuff yet.
The only downside, I would say, is that, you know those crafting, there are those crafting things that you can get through skirmishes
mm-hmm.
where you can enhance or rather you can get a bunch of skill
right
at one point. They stop at artisan, and most of my guys, they're working on artisan right now, so I can't use them.
My captain is the jeweler. She's at supreme.
Yeah, so but is she capped on all of hers?
Yeah, she's working on capping mastery and then continues.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, so I don't have to worry about getting you any more platinum or anything?
No, I still need platinum, please.
You still need platinum?
For the Jeweler's Guild.
Oh, okay.
But I am now on the, what is it, the Ancient Silver?
Ancient Silver is going to be, yeah, well, so I can get you some of that.
Right.
Okay, well, I'll keep my eyes open for platinum for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so back to
my hunter is able to get some platinum now, so it's not at all.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and go back to what we were talking about before we got off on a tangent.
Captains.
Yeah, captains. So give three examples of changes or improvements you would make to improve the captain class. Skills and abilities. Please limit your response to three brief examples. Captains only, please. You know, I don't play Endgame, so it's kind of hard for me to feel like I'm competent enough.
I can't answer because the problem is me. I know the problem is me. The problem is I can't do melee well. I don't like running up to the monster's face, and it takes me a while to remember, oh, I can't do anything unless I run up there too.
Right, and I'm trying to think hard about what would I enhance about them. I don't know if I can give anything good. Oh, there's a good suggestion. The first like reply is a new mark that returns power when you hit something. That would be good.
Do they have power issues? Probably. Being some kind of buffer healer class, I would assume that they all have power issues.
I would assume if you're doing something back to back, you could run into it. But, you know, I'm not sure. But that would be a cool improvement, kind of like a mana regen or power regen. Sorry. That'd be cool. A stance that boosts DPS? Yeah, I could see that. Their DPS is not great.
No. And I think that's why I'm having problems is that I don't think I'm using my Herald effectively. And I don't think things are not dying quickly. And I don't like to run up to the monster. I have all kinds of problems.
You have all kinds of problems?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, so those are some good ideas. It looks like some of the more of the experienced captains are really coming up with good ideas. I'm seeing a lot of DPS mostly it's DPS.
I don't know how much DPS that they'll get, though, because they're DPS class.
The first person suggested at the cost of their buffs and healings.
But their fellowships like their buffs and healings.
Yeah, let's admit it. The reason you're getting invited as a captain is because they want your buffs, they want the intermittent heals, and they want the in-combat res, which is huge. The in-combat res, especially against the Balrog.
What do they get? They get like three of them or something if they're traded.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've used every single one.
I'll have to look into that. I noticed that there's a lot of reading I have to do on these classes that I'm leveling up. Because, let's admit it, a trained monkey can level stuff up.
Is your captain still 30?
He is 40 now.
Oh, you got your captain to 40?
He is the first one I get to 40. I usually go captain, then minstrel, and then after that.
You should do alphabetical.
Yeah, I should. Well, actually, what I was thinking is I really should just go down my character list instead of just like, which one will I do now? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the first time where I've been like, I don't know. All I can think about is how 30 to 40 is going to be awful. But, I'll get to that later. That'll be a later tangent. Okay, so number two. If you could create one new legacy to add to the captain's legendary item pool, what would it be? Please specify whether it be pool A or pool B. I have no idea.
I don't even know what they have now.
Let's see.
I'm not even close to it.
Somebody said reducing the Oathbreaker's cooldown. I'm seeing a lot of like revealing mark percentage, which is actually DPS related. So I guess they really want, you know, if you're a captain, I'm sorry, but your DPS is always going to be good. Now, if your DPS is so bad,
what do you
like
mean good.
Your DPS is always not going to be good. It's not
going to
be good
enough that you can solo, but it shouldn't.
Well,
it's going to be like a minstrel. Like, you are there to benefit the team. You are a support class.
Right. It shouldn't be so bad that you're not getting invited to the raid. Let's put it that way.
But nobody's inviting a captain for their DPS.
Yeah, I don't see anybody inviting a
captain.
Nobody.
They're like, we need buffs. We need heals. We need a captain.
Well, what if they're being forced into being a healer?
What else? Is there any other options for a captain?
I don't know. Good question. I think there's probably a tanking line. I can't remember what I choose.
There's a tanking line?
I think I choose ones that just enhance my DPS, I think, at this point.
Okay.
Anything that'll do more damage, or anything that'll add, like, I'll also add, like, anything that adds, like, healing to rally, or anything that adds to my buffs, because that's what I rely on to keep me alive. It's my buffs and my rally.
Right. It's like playing, it's a different way of playing like a minstrel where you're spinning your ballads to give yourself buffs so that you can kill things more efficiently.
Right. Okay, so number three, thinking of about set bonuses, what bonuses do you find most useful? What ones do you find least useful? And let's see. Most useful, usually anything that reduces power and anything that increases healing is okay. Well, I can see that. And some people say that they're just forgettable. I guess it all depends on your style of play. Well, he must not play a healer class or something. I don't know. One person says defeat event recovery. Oh, yeah, that's huge. That is huge because you want your downtime to be so minimal.
Event. I don't understand. Defeat event recovery.
So basically anything that is a defeat event is usually like rally or...
See, I don't know. Rally for a minstrel means I'm rezzing you in combat.
Oh, maybe I'm not thinking rally. Maybe I'm not saying the right one. So it's not called rally. Oh, so basically the heal that you get when something is defeated. There's the stun or damage. So AoE just stun, like damage.
Something died, you can do something now.
Yeah, right. And okay. They want that recovery to be as minimal as possible.
Okay. Oh, so there's legacies to help with that.
I guess it looks
or
like.
Or maybe.
Or just set bonuses.
Maybe they want that.
Yeah. I haven't gotten there yet because I'm not looking that far forward.
If I look that far 30. Forward.
Yeah. Besides, if I look that far forward, I'll go crazy. I will go crazy. I can't do that. All right. Let's see. What else do we have?
I just wanted to mention in case you didn't update your iTunes or something. We had two midweek bonus episodes last week about free to play. We had an interview with DDO cast Jerry Snook where we asked him about his experience with DDO going free to play. Maybe give us a little insight of what we should expect coming down the pipe for us.
Right.
That kind of stuff. It was a very good interview and we really appreciated Jerry taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, it was very cool. He's very patient with us.
Yeah, the baby habit was not being good while we were, because we had to do it during the day. And I had to leave quite often to go just sit and play with the baby habit, because usually she just kind of sits in her lap or sits and plays on the floor and is pretty good. But she did not want to be quiet at all during this interview.
No, she was pretty bad.
We had a podcasters roundtable that we did with Locho Reporter, Gondor Waits, the Locho Network, and Green Dragon Inn.
Yes.
I didn't miss anybody, did I?
I don't think so.
And that was posted on both ours and Locho Reporter's feed. It was really good. We just sat and chatted about free-to-play and what we think about it. I think it was very fun. I had a good time.
I did have a lot of good time. And it's actually the reason why we're doing this right now.
They live-streamed it, and the main reason that we didn't live-stream before was simply because we would do it when the baby habit was napping, which means that we would maybe do the first part and then break and then come back and do it later. And we didn't want to be like, tune in later
right.
for the rest of this episode.
Right.
She's sleeping pretty well during the night. She's napping right now. We usually record on Saturday nights, not Sunday mornings. But with the whole my mic stand was broken and we were trying to repair it deal, I don't know. So this is not normal.
No.
But yeah, that was a really good roundtable session. I was pretty excited about it. I had a really good real good time talking to everybody. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I think we're going to do it in the future. Kind of leaving that up to Chris and Bill from Locho Reporter. Because mm-hmm. they're the ones organizing this. Okay, and let's see. I just dropped this in actually because it seems to be a little bit of an issue for some people. So there's been a change to forum rep. I'll go ahead and say it right now. There's been a change to forum rep, and what's happening is they've removed everybody who's got a blue name from forum rep. So they cannot give it out. They cannot receive it because there was kind of a little snafu, I guess, because of their ability to give out forum rep.
Well, and they did it like if they were locking a thread, they would give negative rep for that or.
Oh, would they?
I believe that's what I read. Just kind of like a... I don't know. It's usually... I guess it would depend on how they do it. Because usually it's not the original poster that gets the thread locked.
No, it's usually not.
So I guess it depends on how it works.
Yeah, so they've just been removed from it. Don't worry. It's not a big deal.
I don't think there's a big deal about that. I think that they probably shouldn't have had it to begin with. There's no reason for them to have it. They're there to monitor, not judge.
Right, and they were like maxed out pretty quickly too. So
everything. I thought that they just got it. I thought they just boosted themselves up.
No, they pretty much every time that they made some kind of announcement, they got boosted up because, well, they're Sapiens and Megan and Clover, and they deserve it. But you know, it's kind of a no-brainer that they were going to have topped out. So whatever.
I'm not tapped out.
I'm not even close. You're farther along than I am.
No, I don't post very often. I try to stay away from the forums.
Yeah.
They just upset me.
Okay. So we've got a bunch of free-to-play updates. So I almost thought about making a new section.
Crazy. Yeah, you went crazy with this because I don't know if I even read all of these, but
okay.
We'll go through it.
So the first change is that wardrobe is basically going to be like shared storage. Patience first said that it was going to be a storage space that every character was going to have once it was unlocked, and it's not going to be that way. It's going to be basically just another shared storage, except that they've got really cool features that they aren't telling people what they do.
Yeah, there's going to be a dev diary about it, and I don't know. It's for what we know, it's shared, similar to shared storage right now, where it's a box that all your characters can get. We don't know if you have to go to the bank to do it. We don't know if you can just do it, you know, wherever you are, open up your wardrobe, or if it's going to be more roleplay and like you have to come back to your home and there is going to be a wardrobe in your wall that you can click on.
Yeah, nobody knows.
So all we know is that it's going to be a box that's shared throughout your server.
Right.
Characters, and there's going to be one per server. You buy it once and then your account has it, basically.
Yeah, that does remain true. It's just shared amongst characters on a server. It's not everybody gets their own. So, all right, the wardrobe and shared storage will also be expandable to 50 slots. They will be, I guess, either sold or unlocked in 10 slot increments. It's not really clear on how you gain those 10 slot increments. Cannot say that word.
Increments. You don't know how. What do you mean you don't know how?
Well, they didn't, like, it doesn't know you buy 10 slots. You buy it by 10 slots
and
in
what
the
packs. Okay.
Yeah, you don't know. I don't know if you buy it through turbine points or if you buy it through in-game gold.
I'm almost certain it's going to be through turbine points.
Yeah, so. I would think so too.
Well, maybe they do it both ways. Who knows?
Well, it depends if they wanted a money sink or if they want money. Money.
I love it when you sing it.
I know you do. All right.
But, yeah, so I just want the dev diary to come out because I want to read about my wardrobe.
Right.
The dev team is looking into the trash items, their stack size and the amounts of items that exist in the world, because there was a discussion about how free-to-play players have, they have two bags?
I think they have no, they may have two. It's either two or three.
I think the premium has three. We have five. We're not changing, but brand new players are going to be limited. And right now, like, if you collect smooth paws when you're out killing wargs, you can only get 10 of them.
Right.
And so your bags fill up rather quickly. So they're looking at, you know, A, what kind of trash can they just eliminate? Because, you know, you get a spiky horn of a knicker breaker and you don't get any more, and that is just wasting an inventory spot. Or, you know, just making it so they stack to 100 or something so that you can carry a whole bunch of them at once, which would be wonderful. I mean, even with me and five bags, I fill up rather quickly just because things don't stack very high.
Exactly. And there's no reason for like a warg to have like five different trash items on it that you have to collect.
Yeah.
And they don't have, I think they have like maybe three or something. But it, once you start killing a bunch of stuff, that really adds up. And the main complaint was, you're making us pay for all this stuff.
Right.
And you're not doing anything to decrease all these.
Right.
No,
we only get two bags and they're going to get filled up and you're almost going to force us to buy more bags.
And I'm such a pack rat. It's that I usually have only two, like one or two bags open for trash stuff.
You have two bags open for trash stuff? Wow.
I know. Because I'm usually carrying around potions, and now I've come to the realization that I have to use as much potions
as what?
As possible to keep up you know, keep from using up a bunch of space.
Oh, I've done that before, just eating a pie or something to clear up some space.
Yeah, that's a secondary thing is food. And so I need to
Oh, I only have one of these left. I'll just eat it so I have some space.
Yeah, my Mistral could really benefit from some food, but I'm just not sending him any because it'll take up space.
Oh, and you're not even, like, once you start having to carry around 12 different instruments, you just have no space. I only carry the one now. I carry my clarinet.
Oh, really?
I have all the other ones in my vault, but it's got the threat reduction on it. It's got good enough whatever stats on it. It's my one. Because when I was leveling up, I used a drum for DPS. Yeah,
I've got the drum. I really only need the drum and the threat reduction one. I can't remember which one that is.
The Therabo?
Yeah, I really only need those two. I don't know why I have the rest, other than I just wanted to make myself them, and I wanted to use them.
Harps are pretty nice sometimes.
I've got a harp. I've got them all. Except I don't have bagpipes yet, because I can't get to Lorien with my woodworker.
Oh, no? Is that who makes it? Is your woodworker? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I think woodworker makes them. They make all the instruments. All right. So the next one is... Expansions are to be available both as single units or a la carte. So basically, this is kind of what we thought it would be. It's basically you could buy Mirkwood like you did purchase Mirkwood, or you could buy it like, oh, your level cap is now 65, now you have access to Mirkwood, things like that.
Buying little and then you can
buy the skirmishes or whatever.
Yeah, everything's little pieces, which I don't know. I guess. It would depend on the player. Like, if I was a super casual player, playing a couple hours a week, maybe, and, yeah, I was leveling, and I don't really need to go to Mirkwood, but maybe I would like to have the skirmish or something. I don't know. Mm. I'm trying to think of how it would make more sense to buy it piecemeal than just the package at once. But this may not make sense for our current expansions, like... Future expansions may make more sense to...
Hopefully this means that there's more features in future expansions.
Well, I you know, it may just make more sense in the future to... I don't know. I don't understand, but go ahead.
Okay, so... Well, it's also going to be cheaper to buy it as a whole than it is a la carte.
I would assume so.
That was the statement actually made in the post.
Okay.
The in-game store... Basically, the store is going to be accessible in-game... If you're looking to...
So you can play as you pay as you go.
Right. So this is actually something that I saw in DDO, and I was actually surprised. In fact, if you download DDO and you go into make a character, the first thing you'll see is that you can buy more additional slots. You can also buy the monk class. And when you click on it, it brings up the store in a browser, kind of like you see my Lotro pop up.
So it's not like you have to go to town to do it. You can be like in the middle of the Lone Lands and bring up the store.
Right. It's a browser-based store that pops up when you're in-game, kind of just like the lore book does. So that's how you access it. So what you see in that store is supposed to be filtered out based on subscription levels. So if you have all your available character slots, you won't see the option to buy more character slots. If you have the Runekeeper class, you shouldn't be able to buy it again. And that's what the purpose is that you won't be able to repurchase something that you already have.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I mean, it would just be a waste of money.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to avoid that. So.
Well, and they have to avoid that just because it would be a bunch of extra man hours in trying to refund points and refund everything because somebody didn't read closely enough that they already have it. It makes sense that they do that.
Right.
Signing up for the beta and being a scriber gets you into both worlds. So... Last week we said, because I read on their thing, it's not like I made it up, that existing players do not need to sign up for the beta. Well, now they're saying that if you are an existing subscriber and sign up for the beta anyway, you get like an extra entry.
Right.
So go sign up if you didn't.
Right, exactly.
Don't listen to me.
Okay. One of the things about being in the beta is that you will help decide what is included in free-to-play and what is not included in free-to-play. By your feedback. Now, I'm sure there are things that they've already decided, you know, that are going to be free to play and what's not going to be. Mm-hmm. But the thing about being in the beta is that they're going to be determining what is included in free to play, what's not, how much something costs.
I was going to say cost is probably a big thing that they're going to be paying attention to.
Right, and they'll be giving out a certain amount of points to people in the beta that are not transferable into live, just in case you're getting excited about that, that you'll be able to use to spend in order for testing to be done.
Okay. They're giving away extra beta keys for their Twitter followers and their Facebook followers.
Right.
Are there Facebook likers, I guess?
I guess people, yeah.
What do you call those people? And there was a question that, I think it was from Through the Palantir, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, actually.
That said, you know, we follow you on our official Through the Palantir Twitter, but there's three guys on it. You know, how does that work? And it was, follow it on your personal Twitter account, which we already do anyway.
Right.
Because we have the shared Stroll to Motor, but then we also have two personal accounts that really have nothing to do with Lovetro.
Exactly.
If you follow it, you're going to get a lot of baby spam from me.
Yeah, you will.
So that's just another avenue of getting into the beta is following them on Twitter.
Right. So one interesting thing that you should know about this is that there was a discussion about some of the downsides of downgrading from a VIP to a premium account. And one of them, it turns out, is that, yes, patient says, I am fairly certain that, yes, additional slots, or I should say additional trait slots, will be locked if you downgrade. You'll need to unlock them again via the Lotro store. Remember, though, that some of these things may change and the beta will be a big influence on some of them. So we actually discussed this. This actually came out like right after we did last week's episode.
Right.
And you were pretty ticked.
I was kind of annoyed by this because I purchased this stuff.
Right.
This is stuff that I own. Why, if I downgrade, does stuff get removed?
You know, I kind of agree too. I think everything that I have now,
I purchased Shadows of Angmar.
This kind of counters that.
That came with all that stuff. I should not have my trait slots removed. I purchased Shadows of Angmar.
Right. And this kind of goes against what they've been saying, is that if you will not lose anything that you have now.
Correct. I had the understanding that if I wouldn't, because I'm a lifer, but if I downgraded to premium, I would have everything I had now. I'd have access to everything I had now. However, when the new stuff starts coming out, I'd have to start paying for it.
And I kind of agree with Mortar Bus, who says because they need a way to have people pay for VIP. I think that's part of it. I also think this is part of just the implementation of free to play. And this is just kind of like casualty of war.
But there's other benefits for being a VIP. You get the 500 turbine points. You get free content upgrades. You get other stuff that makes it a bonus to being a VIP.
Right.
And we're not talking about someone who started off as a free-to-play player, became a VIP, and then went back to being a premium player. We're talking about people who went out and paid $50 for the box of, you know, Shadows of Angmar, and now are losing their trait points if they go to premium. That's what I think is a problem.
I do think that's a problem. And I don't think it's fair. I think it's actually kind of rude. I don't think it's
rude.
It's probably not intentional, but
that may change. And maybe they mean free-to-play players, but that's the part that I have a problem with, is I spent $50 on that stupid box, and you're going to take away stuff that I purchased.
Yeah. Another thing that was brought up was that there will be what available at retail?
Point cards. So you'll be able to buy turbine points at your local GameStop.
Yeah. So basically kind of like that there were game time cards. There will not be point cards.
I think there will be both.
However, if you go to our GameStop and you ask for one, they'll be like, what?
They're stupider than crap there.
And you'll say, well, if you can hear me through the smell of armpit. Because that's how bad it is.
Ours isn't so stinky. It's not that old.
It's,
but they're so dumb. I went in there once for, you were collecting the WoW minis for a while.
Yeah, the WoW minis.
And I asked for it, and he's like, I don't even know what that is. And I'm like, the box is right behind you, dummy. Just grab it and let me pay for it. You are so stupid.
Oh, yes. We need Lotro minis.
That would be cool, actually.
Yeah,
that would be cool. I would even want to collect those. I had no interest in the WoW minis.
But. Yeah. Okay, so you will not able... you will not be able to use points for character transfers.
I guess.
Yeah. There's still going to be a paid for service just because of the way it's implemented. It's still a manual process.
It's a very manual process. So it has to be done separate from the store, which is pretty automatic. Like if I buy something, doesn't it like come to my mail or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a different process.
There's a bunch of there's a bunch of database moving stuff. I mean,
I don't know if I want to use points for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it would be confusing.
I could see how some people would if they were saving up their points and really wanted to move.
Or if there was a sale on point cards on Amazon.com like there is on Time. Time cards. I should have finished that sentence.
Yeah, you just stopped in the middle.
It's just like, you know.
Yeah, honey. I'm with you. I gotcha.
Okay.
Invites have started going out for the beta, I assume.
Yes.
And more will come throughout the summer. So start checking your email, people.
Yeah.
I checked mine. Nothing.
The invites actually said limited to a limited amount of people. So there might be just like friends and relatives or something like that that are interested in the game. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start seeing more go out. But the 16th is when it starts. And just so you know, Bull Roar is open for patching, but only invited players can log in.
Do you have Bull Roar installed still?
I don't know if I do because I reformatted my machine. And
Well, we're going to have to work on that because we're going to get in the beta. I decided.
We are.
I have no idea. We didn't get into anything else.
Mordor Bus says it does patch, but it took a while. Well, I imagine. There's a bunch
of stuff. It's a big difference.
There was a good player post on how free-to-play worked for him for DDO. And I just kind of wanted to share this because it was a nice little story about how positively it does work. So what he does is that I bought DDO when it first released. I subscribed for a few months, but found it lacking in many areas. But one of my favorite dungeons was the Catacombs Adventure Series, chock full of undead to waste. Anyway, when I returned to DDO as a premium player, after it went free to play, having left it for nearly a year, I was sort of miffed that the Catacombs, one of my favorites, had turned into a pay to play dungeon. Like many here, pining over the future of Lotro, I thought to myself, didn't I already buy this dungeon at release? Shouldn't I have had it available now for free? But then I realized, no, I'm playing the game for free. I'm not paying a subscription. I have the game, but access is determined by the subscription I pay. If I'm not paying a subscription, then why should I expect access? It was an epiphany of sorts. Previously, if I had the bug to play DDO for one off afternoon thing, I had to spring for $15 for the month, which I did occasionally. The deal I had now with free to play is considerably better. Factoring in all the considerations, it became rather clear to me that I wasn't being ripped off. In fact, I bought enough points for the adventure pack with enough left over to buy a second set of adventures, all for $6. This will be my access for the month, and really rather more cheap than the $15.
So this is the same kind of deal as the traits where he purchased DDO.
Right.
Correct? When it first released. So he bought a box, and he used to play Catacombs, but now when he came back as a premium player, he didn't have it anymore. That's kind of the same deal as the traits, if you ask me. It's content that he purchased when he purchased the box.
Yeah, and this probably isn't as nitpicky as traits, though, but...
Yeah, traits are...
Traits are something
useful.
That you have to use.
They're much more useful. They're like a basic thing of the game, but.
But I can see this. If he has limited fun or doesn't have that interest in playing DDO all the time, and he spends $6 for these two adventure series, and he can access them whenever he wants, doesn't have to pay $15 again for a month.
I understand that he does not feel ripped off. He feels happy that he only had to pay $6 and got. Not only the dungeon he likes, plus more stuff for $6 instead of $15, it still kind of rubs me the wrong way that he purchased that Catacombs.
Yeah,
sort
he
of.
Did.
You know, I'm not trying to be a poo-head about it, but at the same time, I'm never going to go premium because I'm a lifetimer, and that would be the dumbest thing I'd do all day.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want to see friends who... You know, they're going to be out of town all summer, run around camping with the kids or whatever. And so they don't want to pay for their subscription during the summer and lose all their stuff.
Right.
I don't know. It's a conundrum. I guess I will just wait and see how they do it.
It's nice to have a choice between free to play or.
I agree. I am not against the model. I think that the model is good because we're going to see a bunch of our friends joining this. But My sticking point is not the new people coming in and paying for a la carte for what they want or paying as they go or becoming a scriber or becoming an or becoming a premium player, flip-flopping wherever they see fit. My problem is folks like Mike, who went out and purchased a collector's edition of the game. He doesn't play anymore. And if he comes back, he's going to have to purchase traits.
Yeah, I guess it's just to take it as you go. It's going to depend on your personal preferences.
We're just going to have to see how it works. We're just going to have to see how it works. You know, may change during beta. They may see that just doesn't work.
Right. The last piece of news that's actually near and dear to my heart, the Isengard program is on hold until after free-to-play testing is over. They will be using the batch of applications they got back in April. But until this is over, they're going to be
holding
off.
This is a private, preview beta program, in case you don't remember. And people signed up for it back in April, and it didn't really go anywhere, so.
I think because this came out, this is probably when the time came out. And they also said they had problems with accounting. All right, so.
Player news.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and move on to Preya.
Weatherstock, which we talked about at the beginning of the show, massively wrote an article about it, and then it was picked up by BBC, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty stinking cool. And it actually likened it in a non-condescending way to live events that people might be attending this week, which it is a live event. It's just a virtually live event. And you know what? It's better than most of the live events I go to because there's always those drunken or stoned people in there barfing or jumping to the mosh pit, seeing if they can kill somebody. That ruins everything.
And you know what's nice about being online is I can get up, go get a pop, come back.
And it's nice and it's cool and you can adjust the temperature.
Yeah, I'm sitting on my couch. No, so I thought that was so cool that it was on BBC News.
Yeah, it is very cool. Let's see. We also have a new endgame guide series by Veneration that are starting on the blog. And we started off with the Sword Halls, which is on part one and be working on part two.
I think it actually may go to part three because he started writing part two and he thinks that he might need to separate hard mode out.
I would separate hard mode
out. So he might have a part two of just regular questing mode and then part three challenge mode.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. Because
the first part is just introducing you to the dungeon. It's showing you the layout. It's showing you basic stuff. The next parts are going to be how to do the dungeon. We have two player events to talk about. The Gates of Summer, an Elven event, is being held on June 20th. Time to be determined by the game's day-night schedule because they want to do it at a certain time in-game.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I'm sure that they'll have an idea. But this is being held on Landerville, of course.
Of course.
We'll have a link to the posting about this so you can get details and maybe have an idea of what time they're coming in, because when I looked it was still to be determined.
Okay, excellent. And let's see, there's also the Clan of Dareth's Amishan Challenge, July 9th on Silverload
has something going on.
So the race will be held on Friday, July 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The starting line will be at the entrance to Thorns Hall's homesteads, and all racers should report for check-in at least 15 minutes before the start time to allow for a head count and any pre-race announcements.
They're giving away money and symbols of Celebrimbor and all kinds of nice rewards.
So to levels 51 plus, the first is a symbol of Celebrimbor. The second,
Celebrimbor,
that's right. Second is 20 gold. Third is 15 gold. Fourth is 10 gold. Fifth is 5 gold.
Wow. I don't need to read all this, but...
But no, I just... And they're giving away tons of money.
They're giving away tons of money and symbols, and it's pretty cool. Are they doing foot races, too? Because they say levels 1 through 24.
They must be. Well, no, you could use your Bree Pony.
But still, 1 to 19 don't have anything.
That's true. Wow, that's crazy. That's awesome. That's a lot of money.
Yep. And finally, in player news, we have a new podcast to share with you. Mordor or Bust released his first episode this week. So you can go check him out at mordororbust.com and listen to his first episode.
Wow. I never heard of him. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, he's actually in our chat room right now with the O Bar.
Oh, he said his second episode is releasing tomorrow, so excellent. Stay tuned.
Wow, you might beat us out tonight. Because
he's slow.
I am slow. Very slow.
Our poll this week was free-to-play opinions. What was your opinion of the free-to-play announcement? We had 367 voters on this poll. 44% said, meh, I'm going to wait and see it at launch. 41% said, excited, this is going to be a good thing. 10% said, upset, this is going to ruin the game. And 5% said, sweet sassy molassy, head to the fallout shelter.
I actually didn't vote on this one, but I wonder... No, I didn't. But if I did, it would have been the second one.
Excited. I said I voted excited. This is a good thing.
So I think I'll take this as an overall positive view of free to play. It seems like most of the people, it's kind of like a silent majority. There's a lot of people who are upset, but this is pretty good. I think everybody's being pretty rational.
Yeah, for the most part, what we have like 85% yeah. are saying either they're excited or just gonna wait and see how it goes. Like people aren't running in circles and lighting their hair on fire and all kinds of stuff.
Let's see. We have Mordor Bus saying that he was excited, and Boar was saying, I went with meh.
He went with meh.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I agree with both. It just depends on the day. Some days I get really excited about it when I get teased with some like, oh, this is going to be cool. Wait till you hear about it. And another days I was like, oh, can we please stop talking about it? It's not a big deal. Although we had somebody who commented on this who... on one of our articles that had a really negative attitude about it, buddy. But I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, even if you are upset about it now. And I think that finishes off this section. And we'll go ahead and enter raise your glass.
Everyone, please, raise your glass with me.
All right. This week in Raise Your Glass, we have letters.
We have Yori of Landerville. Sorry if I butchered your name. Guess this would be more for Golden Star since she plays the mini. So I decided to level my dwarf mini, and I'm not sure what stats I need when it comes to virtues. The next question I would ask is, are there different virtues for healing and different ones for doing DPS? Are the same stats for healing and DPS the same? Thanks for the help. Back to deed grinding. Feel free to hit me up in game if you need a low-level healer. He's a level 35, and his name is Ori. Hey, I may take you with my hunter, because
yeah.
my other healer doesn't heal.
What?
Lucky for you, we recorded last week a minstrel class roundtable that we plan to release sometime midweek this week.
Yes.
We had Bryant and Moondog from our kin, and we had Harperella from the Lonely Mountain Band join us to talk about being a minstrel and minstreling.
Yes. And I am very minimal in that because I realized very quickly I knew very little about minstreling.
He was so cute because he was like, I'm totally going to be part of the conversation. I have a 35 minstrel. I'm totally going to just jump in there and help. And about 10 minutes in, he was like, I don't know anything about what's going on.
Yeah, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
And then he turned into a baby hobbit where he was like, playing with
it was pretty bad.
Playing with wires, and I'm just like, just sit still and be quiet.
Yeah, it does help to have a high level mini. Yeah, it does. Boar just brought that up in the chat. And Mordor Bus, I'm sorry. The yell is actually one of the reasons why we don't like dwarves that much.
It's kind of wow. And then at Woodstock, Weatherstock last night, this dwarf kept crying all the time, and he sounded like Santa Claus. He was
yeah, it's pretty bad. Okay, so Fury of Brandywine writes, hey guys, I really like your podcast. It's a lot like what my ex and I wanted to do back when we played WoW. I am a casual WoW player that turned casual LOTRO player when I finished exploring Azeroth. My boyfriend, who started playing with me, and I just split up, so I'm looking for a nice guild of people to play and chat with so I can still enjoy the game without feeling lonely. I'm playing on Brandywine, and I thought about moving to Landerville, but that's not something I can afford right now. Also, my mom has started playing a bit on Brandywine, and I'd feel bad if I left her. The reason I'm asking for your advice, instead of going to the forums, that I like your approach that you guys have to the game, and it's a lot like how I like to play my MMOs. Also, with your podcast and blog, I thought you might know what guilds on Brandywine have stuff to do with other than raids, since I'd like to be able to do things with my mom on her little hobbit and I haven't finished leveling myself. I used to play on Landerville, but someone told me that Brandywine was more active, which I think was a mistake. Great podcast, and thanks for any advice, Fury. Well, I think, first of all, Brandywine is technically more populated than Landerville.
I think they're very active. They're more populated than Landerville, I believe.
However, we did write her back as soon as she wrote this, but we told her we'd give this a shout out. So any of our listeners who speak or who listen to the game. Yeah.
Who speak kinship.
Yeah. So any of our listeners who listen to the our podcast and look at the blog would be able to contact her. And we told her actually that Cor Pathrony is on Brandywine and they would probably love to have her and her mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're casual. We also suggested to talk to Zahn.
Yes.
From Twitter, because she just joined a new kinship, I believe. And she was kind of in the same boat where she was looking for a nice casual kin to join.
Yes.
We found our first kinship on Landerville using the lore book, actually.
Yes.
And they were fine. We loved the Pie Lover Society.
Yeah, they're great people.
Yes, but Az stole us away.
Yes, he did.
Well, we were playing with Az so much, we might as well join his kin.
Yeah, that was the kind of thing, yeah.
Next letter is from Galnador of Byla. Hi, I'm Galnador from Byla, kin Burrow Hobbits. Guess the source of that name, and no, we're not all hobbits. I'm having the achievement that might tickle your fancy. A bit ago, most of the kin was going to a turtle run, but a few others missed the cutoff. So we thought to group for sword hauls when we started to organize. To our surprise, all of us showed up. There were captains. Three captains, no tank, no mini.
Wow. Interesting.
Now, for those who don't run with captains that often, we are frequently the tag-along class. Aww. Many groups like us to show up early, give everyone buffs, and then frankly, we fade into the background. At best, we're on standby to raise the healers or to do some off-tanking with Oathbreakers, but not really expected to do much. No raid leader wants our heralds, banners only please, with instruction to trait for heals, not DPS. So the captains for sword halls, we all laughed and joked about how fast we would wipe. We all had Oathies, Oathbreaker heralds. So six of us entered sword halls, expecting to die quickly. Instead, we blew sword halls away. I've never done sword halls so fast. It was like the perfect combination for that instance. Nothing could stand against us for more than a few minutes. I'd now love to try some of the 12-man skirmishes with all captains and soldiers and heralds. 36 bodies in a skirmish. Be fun.
That's very cool.
That would be, yeah, because you'd have the soldier, you'd have your herald, you'd have, gosh, there would be that would be a huge group.
Yeah. Boris saying that his main is a capping, and he says it's all about in defense of Middle Earth. So I think that, you know, three cappies, that's awesome. And I think also his he kind of gives an explanation about why some of the captains may have problems with their class, trading for heals instead of DPS and feeling like they fade into the background. And they're just there for buffs and raising healers. But, you know,
I don't think that they're class. There. I am happiest when I have a captain there as my support.
I hands down want a captain.
I really want a captain to be my, you know, second. And they may heal more than I do just because they're so good at it.
Right.
You know? They just work differently.
Right. Okay, so we've got player achievements for this week. And we'll start off with Red Griffin of Lorelin. After a week on halls, I had a good week on the captain. Leveled him to 58. Got all the new jewels and cloak.
Plus, he was on holiday, remember?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Sorry, we're stupid. We couldn't figure out halls.
We're dumb. Do-do-do. Here's our sign. and cloak, plus completed all the quests in harm's way. And book 4 to chapter 7, Drowned Treasury. Proving a tough class and with patience, good for solo. 3 deaths in total so far. Have a first run in Grand Stairs tonight, so we'll report on that next week. On the Guardian, help kinmates in sword halls. Record now is 9 runs on the trot. Red from Kofasame.
Kofasame. We read his just so we can say Kofasame. Dreloren. Oh, this is from Through the Palantir, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I got my Runekeeper to 45 and grabbed him his starter legendaries. Went with the Firestone. Oh, his little rock.
Ah, okay.
Because he's a Runekeeper. Also managed to solo a few on-level small fellowship quests in Forachel. I always gave me trouble with the other characters, so I was proud of that. On my main, didn't do much really. Sold a scroll of empowerment for 10 gold, bringing up my gold level to around 45. Holy moly.
Wow. What the heck?
I was really proud when I hit 10.
Now you have a challenger.
No, I will get as much money as possible, but 45 just seems like a lot to me.
What are you doing? You should write us a gold guide.
Yeah. And send it just to me.
What? No.
Chop. No. With that. And put another 5 gold or so of hides I've saved up on a rootkeeper on the AH. So he's going to get a bunch more. He's going to have 50 gold. I had a few really nice nights in the moors, which I haven't done in months, so that was good. All in all, it was a pretty good week for me.
Wow, very cool. Dreadhead writes, I've been spending a lot of time on my alts lately. Leveled my Warden, Wardred, Champion of the Ages, Firefoot, to level 40. I also leveled my Burglar, Dredicated, Champion of the Ages, Firefoot, to 30. In addition, since I want to roll an RK, but was out of slots on Firefoot, I started an Elven RK on Landerville. Awesome. Dinsir means the silent stream. No kinship yet, but I got him to level 9. Hey, go throw an application up on Secret Fire. SecretFire.com.
The Council of the Secret Fire. There's also a different Secret Fire group out there.
Yeah, we'll go to SecretFire.com.
There's a Servants of the Secret Fire kin as well. We're the Council of the Secret Fire.
Right.
Luxbera on Elendimir. Although my main is raid ready, level 65 burglar, Corbrett, I've been alting like mad on my guardian recently and finally got her into Moria and level 52, 2.5 years after she was created. My goal is to have her raid ready by the end of the summer. My real accomplishment, though, is that I have taken a real interest in all of my characters' backstories. Elbros of Lotrecrest has had a podcast a while back that really inspired me to write their backstories on my.lotre.com/... Is that an L or an I? It's probably...
I think it's...
Ideas. I'll have a link to it. I'm not sure what it is on the post. Please pursue it if you like that kind of thing. FYI, they're not the happiest stories to come out of Middle-earth. Backstories are fantastic. I love reading backstories about characters. I like writing backstories. My backstories about my characters really are not very in-depth.
No, but they give you an accurate feeling of who they are.
It helps me when I go to roleplay. I know how to be that person. And that's basically all I need. But I think that's fantastic.
Steve. This is from Steve. Got my guardian.
Cloudy with meatballs.
Yeah, cloudy with the chance of meatballs.
Steve!
Got my guardian, Callan. The guy's name is probably actually Steve, which is actually an inside joke for us as well, because I call everything Steve.
Merrick, if he cannot remember what someone's name is, he calls them Steve. Yeah. There's a Tony's restaurant, and he'll be like, do you want to go to Steve's? And I have no idea what he's talking about, because
if he does now.
But he calls everything Steve. So, like, when Cloudy with Meatballs was all like, Steve! we thought that was super funny.
Okay. Steve writes, got my guardian, Kallendorf, on Firefoot to 54. My highest level since getting to 53 on my hunter and deciding I didn't like him anymore. Really enjoying my decision to leave WoW and buy a lifetime membership and come back to Lotro, pre-ordered and played for a couple months after launch.
Well, that's fantastic. Welcome back, and I'm glad you got the...
Good timing.
Yeah, good thing you got the... Because I read that the lifetime membership option is still available for the Codemaster folks.
Oh,
it's not available for us in the U.S.
I'd buy it now. Buy it
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
Because they are going free-to-play.
Yes. Yeah, we did hear from Patience, wasn't it?
Yeah, Patience said that we probably should have included that. But yeah, Codemasters will be going free-to-play as well.
Yeah, so if you can get that...
Get it now.
Yeah. It's closed for us in the U.S. We don't have the option anymore.
And Mortar or Bus says it was cheaper there as well.
Yeah, I think it was only 75 euros, which...
That's 150. That's cheaper.
Yeah.
Hands down, that's the cheapest I've ever heard of it being. Yeah.
Slayers of Gladden. Joined a few more raids and finally, after a month or two of almost daily PvMP, we got my hunter to rank 7. Only 75k more renown to rank 8. Also got my Burglar 31 and started skirmishing with a friend on his level 30 minstrel. Slayers of Gladden, Exodus Kinship.
Okay, Katani writes, got to go on an awesome run of DN with my kin, Dragon's Wrath of Brandywine, last night. We managed to get all the way through the raid in less than 3 hours. Sadly, I've come to realize that I'm bored with raiding on my hunter, Katani, and I'll have to start working on getting my captain some Radiance gear pretty soon. Well, yeah, I could see it, but you know what? It's going to be fun. Changing it up always helps.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did exactly what we thought we would when I got Golden Star to 65. I'm like, next.
Yeah, you did tinker around a lot longer than I did. But yeah, you're fully into the hunter now. You're in full hunter mode.
Yeah. Mithril Mistress says, I rolled a character on Landerville and went to Weatherstock. What fun. Even though real life prevented me from showing up until about an hour late, we were still escorts waiting in South Bree who took us latecomers all the way to the top. And other kind people were scattered along the path, killing things at spawn that might have been a hassle for a level 8 hobbit. The music was great, the crowd was fun, and there were lots of other hungry and thirsty hobbits to talk to. I was amazed at all the organization that went into the event. I noticed there was somebody named Golden Star in the crowd, too.
That was her.
It was me.
And I was the guy in Myrduk who was running around crazy or sitting most of the time with a dwarf butt in his face.
Yeah, there was a dwarf that constantly was sitting on you for some reason.
I don't know. He liked me. He's a little bit too personal, but the guy liked me. What could I say?
Because I was always looking for you. And I could find you because you were in my fellowship.
Right.
And I would just like target you. And I'd be like, but it would look like it's targeting that dwarf. And I'm like, did he bring his dwarf instead of his outfit?
No. We had one review.
Osiris Warp. From Australia.
Thank you for writing in. Thank you very much. He actually wrote us in and let us know that he put in...
He found me in game is what he did. He found me in game and he told me that he was enjoying the podcast and that he left us a review on the Aussie store. So
awesome. Thank you. And remember, if we have a review that you haven't heard on the podcast, send us a little message. And where can they send us the message to let us know?
You can visit our blog at casualstrolltomordor.com. We welcome your email to podcast@casualstrolltomordor.com or leave us a voicemail at 520-261-CSTM. That's 2786. We're available on Twitter as Stroll to Mordor. Or you can leave us a review on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace and we would really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, everybody who came out. And thank you for those who actually came in the chat room. We tested this on
live stream, yeah, for the first time.
Yeah. It is not a site like that, Mordor of Us. So... thank you very all, and we hope to hear from you soon and talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.